Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WJLA 7 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
FirstNet and AT&T are undertaking a joint project to build out a broadband network that will be used by the first responders in this country. Well, what does that mean to you as a consumer and a user of services and the need to be notified when there's an emergency? Well, we've got two experts with us today. They both are involved in seeing that this project takes place. My guests are in the studio is Chris Sambar. He's a senior vice president for FirstNet with AT&T. And joining us by phone is TJ Kennedy, who is the president of FirstNet. So first off, TJ, let me ask you, how did FirstNet get started? This is a relatively new thing, so our listeners are probably not going to know a whole lot about it.
Sure. Public safety across this country has really been asking for a dedicated public safety broadband network for their emergency responses that really help every citizen across this country. So when you dial 911 today, police officers, firefighters, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians respond to your calls for help. Traditionally, they've had at their fingertips the ability to use land mobile radios, or what are typically known as walkie-talkies. And these are an important mission-critical part of our communications platform for first responders. They've only had the ability to use, you know, kind of regular cellular services today to some degree, but they've really wanted to have the ability for a mission-critical cellular network that would allow them to have the ability to send videos and key pictures and to get important applications for public safety on a network that would support them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in this important response that they have across our country. And what they did is they really worked with Congress, and they lobbied for the fact that they needed some dedicated spectrum and some dedicated funding to make this happen with one nationwide network that would allow all these police and fire and ambulance agencies across the country, whether they were at the city level, the county level, the state level, or the federal level, to all be able to communicate with voice, video, and data. And that's really what FirstNet is. We are just the first responder network, and our job is to be able to deliver this network for those first responders across the country, and so that they all can share information so they can better respond to citizens when they call for help.
And you're not talking about just the continental United States, I believe. There are a number of territories involved as well. Am I correct?
That's correct. So all the territories are also involved. So a good example, it doesn't matter if you're going to one of the outside the continental United States states like Alaska or Hawaii, but also looking at American Samoa or Guam or the Mariana Islands or the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay. All right. And so this was passed by an act of Congress, and you're part of what, the Department of Commerce?
Correct. We're an independent authority inside the Department of Commerce whose sole mission is to provide this public safety network to our first responders.
And you should know whereof you speak because you were a first responder, TJ, I believe.
I was. I have the unique opportunity that I've been able to be a professional firefighter and a paramedic, as well as a law enforcement officer, and it gives me a unique perspective to help make sure we deliver on this core mission we have to put the key communication tools in the hands of every police officer, firefighter, and paramedic.
Well, it sure does. And Chris, AT&T is the partner with FirstNet. You were chosen by FirstNet to build out this project. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what you're going to be doing, what your company is going to be doing.
So we're really excited at the opportunity. AT&T views this an opportunity to build a network, which we've been doing for 140 years, but it's also an opportunity to support a really important customer of ours and somebody that we all rely on every day for our safety and security, and that's first responders. So we're going to use our existing network across the United States, our wireless network that, you know, millions of people know and love and use. And we are going to build on top of that additional capabilities. We start with that existing network, and then we build capabilities on top of it that are special just for first responders. They'll have dedicated access to the network when they need it, times they need it most. And there'll be a bunch of features and functionality that come along with it.
Okay. Now, you'll be building the devices, too, that are going to be used by these first responders. Is that correct? I mean, what do you see in the future that these tell me, if I were a first responder, let's say in a rural part of the country, how would this impact me?
Mm-hmm. So, great question. So, AT&T won't be building the devices. We'll be building the underlying network that they'll use, this mm-hmm. dedicated network. The devices, we're making this network available to any device manufacturer that wants to make a device for first responders. So, whether that's an iPhone or a Samsung device, you know, which most people carry in the country, or they're purpose-built devices, really specialized devices, similar to their walkie-talkies, but have that functionality where they're, you know, fire-resistant, waterproof, you can throw them in a pool, they're shock-resistant, things like that the first responders need going into challenging situations. We'll allow all of those devices on the network. So if you're a first responder in rural America, you'll have your choice of devices. You can bring whatever device you'll need. And you'll know that if a crisis happens in rural America, in an urban setting, if a hurricane comes through, a tornado, whatever, if the network is challenged because thousands or millions of people are trying to access portions of the network at one time, you know how it clogs up and it congests. You won't have that problem with FirstNet if you're a first responder.
Okay, now that was an issue I remember. And I know AT&T had brought in special trucks and things trying to fill out the cellular network because the overload when we had 9/11, for example, and other catastrophes that have happened. Mm-hmm. So this is going to fill that gap. This is going to make sure that there's constant communication between the people that need to know and their ability to get to consumers and areas where they need it.
Exactly. So the 9/11 Commission, you know, some of the findings were in a major crisis like a 9/11 or Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, there's a couple of real big issues that needed to be solved, they found years ago. And one was access to the wireless networks. All of the wireless networks congest when too many people get on them. We're solving that because we're giving them dedicated access to the network. The second issue, and probably even more important, is interoperability. So you have different agencies, say the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and the local police. They're all on different networks right now in most cases. They can't all talk to each other on their radios.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So that now sometimes they can if they've done the behind-the-scenes work, but most of the time they can't. And so when those agencies all descend on an area, you know, a crisis, they can't necessarily interoperate or talk to each other. We're going to solve that with FirstNet. Just like today, if you have a carrier other than AT&T and I have AT&T, we can make a call. We can text,
sure.
Right? Works fine.
Sure.
We need to do the same thing for first responders so they don't have the same challenges that they have today.
So that they don't run up against all those millions of other people who are trying to use a cellular network.
Exactly.
And can't get through.
You got it.
Okay. So, TJ, this is quite a huge project, it sounds like. And it's something, and I'm sure that the people that you serve are going to be very, very happy with. But tell me, what kind of time frame are we looking at? How are you going to roll this out? And I know that depends on how hard we make AT&T work, but other than that, what is the time frame?
Of course. So there are two things. There was the time frame that we actually put out in our request for proposal, which was a 5-year build out with at least 20% of the build out in rural and non-rural areas such as urban areas in the next 5 years. But the reality is the proposal that AT&T came back with actually is going to expedite that, and we certainly will have continued build-out, but they're going to give access to the existing network today, but adding those key features that public safety is looking for, priority, preemption, encryption, and a public safety application store. And they're going to start offering that with priority as early as this July to states that opt into the network, and then by the end of the year, we'll actually have that preemption capability. So it's really going to be something that's going to be offered here in the next year, and states will be able to begin signing up and getting users, public safety users, on the network years faster than we had anticipated.
And which of the two entities are going to be the ones that are going out to the states and asking them what their needs are? Is that going to be FirstNet that's going to be doing that?
So the great news is that has been FirstNet for the past couple of years, and we've actually gone out and had consultation meetings and listening sessions with all 50 of the states and all 5 of the territories in the District of Columbia. And we've also had great listening sessions with all of our public safety associations and key stakeholders. Good example is the meeting I'm at today, which is the Public Safety Advisory Committee of FirstNet, represents all of the major public safety associations. So the International Association of Chiefs of Police and Fire and so forth.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are TJ Kennedy, who is the president of FirstNet, and Chris Sambar, who is the senior vice president of FirstNet for AT&T. I should say he's the senior vice president of AT&T for FirstNet. I'm not sure which way I should say that, Chris.
I think they're both good.
They're both equally good. Okay, so you have a consumer advisory panel. Now, I run a consumer organization. Aside from the fact that this is going to allow the people that I need to keep me safe to communicate with each other, how is that going to impact the communication with the consumer? I mean, I get messages now on my phone if there's a thunderstorm approaching, but I also get messages on television and on radio. So Are those things going to be more secure, or is that going to have any impact at all? You can tell I don't know a whole lot about how this works.
Sure. Those emergency alerts are going to continue to work the same way on your cell phone, and they're also going to work on our public safety network. So we'll both be able to take advantage of those for different reasons, but be able to have that great capability. One of the unique things is the nation and different states are starting to go towards next generation 911. And as they start to do that, a good example is in the District of Columbia. They started taking texts, for instance, for 911 in addition to calls. That data can also be shared with first responders. And eventually we'll have the ability to have photos and videos if they're available. So think of a citizen out there who has an emergency situation where a picture or a video might be helpful to 911. In the future, that will be able to be shared with those first responders, police officers, firefighters, and paramedics responding to the scene to give them better information. And some of that is not going to be available everywhere on the 911 side, which is separate from FirstNet, but we're going to be fully integrated to that to be able to make that work for first responders and give that kind of rich information to those first responders who respond to citizens' calls for help.
And I know, Chris, that AT&T has always been very concerned with accessibility for people with disabilities. And how is this is not really going to impact anything in that score. It's just going to make the network more reliable and better able to communicate. And those means of communication with people with whether they're deaf or blind or hearing impaired or whatever, that will mean it'll continue, but reinforced by FirstNet.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of those requirements are federal, in some cases state requirements. And FirstNet put those in their proposal, and we responded in their request for proposal, we responded accordingly. Of course, there'll be no changes to any of that. I think the value, as TJ said, to the general public is when first responders have the broadband tools at their hands that they need, the phones that we take for granted every day, when they have them and they know they can count on them, it makes them more efficient. It's almost like having more police on the street, more firefighters on the street, sir, because they can get their job done faster, more efficiently, and safer. And that's good for all of us.
I didn't realize, Chris, that now there may be an impact between, let's say, in our area, between Montgomery County, Virginia, and D.C., in terms of first responders sharing information across the whole metropolitan area. Maybe we're unique. I don't know. But this would mean that different jurisdictions would have the ability to make sure that all of their first responders in all of those jurisdictions would be able to communicate.
Exactly. I mean, there are thousands of, TJ referred to them earlier, land mobile radio, it's called, or the walkie-talkies. There are thousands of land mobile radio networks across the United States, and there are actually police and fire in the same municipality that are on two different networks and can't actually communicate with each other, or they all have to go to a single channel and communicate with each other, which can be kind of kludgy. So we're going to hopefully, our goal here is to open that up so that everyone can talk to everyone.
Okay, now, we think about cell towers, but the technology is evolving so that cell towers are actually probably going to be obsolete in the near future from some of the things I've read. Or maybe not obsolete, but being enhanced by other means of sending cellular traffic. How do you see this network impacting on cell towers and how many of them? Because as I understand it, this is an independent network from what we now have in terms of cellular. Is that correct?
The benefit of this, we call it a public-private partnership. If FirstNet were to try and go out and build a network from scratch, if the federal government were to try and do that, it would cost them tens of billions of dollars. They couldn't afford it. So they partnered with AT&T. And in doing so, we said, we already have a network. We're going to give you access to that network. So it's the same network that everyone uses. And then we're going to build capabilities on top of that network to make it even better.
That will be dedicated to the first responders.
Exactly.
So when I make a cell phone call, I'm not going to impact on them. They're going to have their ability to communicate regardless.
If you are on a part of the network that a first responder needs, you as a consumer would be moved to a different part of the network to give them dedicated access at the second that they need it.
That would be a seamless transmission,
yes.
We hope. Okay.
Yes.
So then what about in terms of using your network? So you're just going to increase the broad, I'd say, I don't understand the technology here. You're going to increase the broadband.
The bandwidth, right?
The bandwidth.
You're going down the right road. That's right.
Okay. That sounds good. Like I know a lot, but I don't.
It was really good.
I'm impressing people. But how is that going to work? I mean, is the bandwidth there that you can utilize now?
Yeah, so as part of this whole transaction between AT&T and FirstNet and the partnership, They were allocated by the Federal Communications Commission 20 megahertz of spectrum, which, you know, probably doesn't mean a lot to people, but it's a lot. That spectrum now goes to AT&T, okay. And we put that in our network. That gives us more
capacity. You access.
Yeah, it gives us more capacity. So now we have plenty of space for first responders and consumers at the same time. In the end, first responders get priority access to it if for some reason it's overly congested, but we have a lot more of it now. So everyone should be happy.
Okay. So, TJ, going back to your experiences being a first responder, did you have times when you couldn't get through where communication was a real issue for you?
Absolutely. I mean, there were times I worked on the Salt Lake Olympics many years ago from a public safety perspective. And when you add a lot of people to locations, whether it's a large stadium or other things such as that, it can get congested. And I think it's only gotten worse over the years, even though there's been additional capacity added because there's so much video that's being utilized today. So with all the video that's being sent, and including by children and teenagers and others, it really does put a lot of stress on the network. And so having this spectrum dedicated to first responders and getting that as part of the public-private partnership has allowed us to now go deploy additional spectrum and to make this network so that the experience for the first responder is that they are on a dedicated network, even though it's interoperating with what the AT&T network is. And we've been able to leverage the expertise of AT&T to really speed up the deployment of the network and to make sure that this network stays up with all of the modern international standards for broadband communications. And they change every year. And so you're going to have updates to this and the ability to upgrade the network constantly for many years to come. And that's something that public safety hasn't had the ability to take advantage of, and it's really a game changer for public safety.
Okay, let's just, on that happy note, let's just take a pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Chris Sambar, who is the Senior Vice President of AT&T for FirstNet, and TJ Kennedy, who is the President of FirstNet. And we're talking about the partnership that's going on, that FirstNet has chosen AT&T to build out this broadband network that will enable our first responders to be there and to be able to communicate with each other. So, TJ, what else do you want consumers to know about this project?
I think for consumers, it's really the comfort that the first responders who they call when they're in their time of greatest need will now have the most modern tools available to them to help save their life, to help transport them to the hospital, to help respond to the fire that happens to be at their home. And what this should do is should allow for better public safety and better responses, that people will have the right equipment when they need it, for instance, at a fire scene, because it will be better data, such as a photo or a video of that fire that happens to be passed on to the first responders that are dealing with that incident. Or think of your response in the back of an ambulance. This will allow EMTs and paramedics to spend more time on patient care and less time on reports or calling the hospital to give information, because a lot of that could be transmitted, as an example. So it should allow for a better emergency medical experience. It should allow for better responses to key firefighting issues that happen, and great responses to law enforcement, and giving them data for better situational awareness, which should make them safer and should make the public safer as well.
Okay, I like all that you're telling me. So, Chris, going back to AT&T's part of this, so you all are using your network to make this happen. Mm-hmm. You're increasing the bandwidth.
That's right.
I do sound knowledgeable. You're increasing the bandwidth so that the first responders are not going to be shut out.
That's right.
Now, what did you all had done? What you had done things before when we had major catastrophes? Because mm-hmm. I remember you all had a bus kind of thing that was a communications device that you were using that you would send to a city when there was an emergency. Mm-hmm. So this is going to expand this many times.
Absolutely. So AT&T over the years has spent about $600 million on what we call our National Disaster Recovery Fleet. And that's everything you're talking about. They look like giant buses or mini warehouses. We can put roll those out to
a
scene. Yeah, they're mobile, like Hurricane Sandy is an example. When the network gets destroyed, which can happen, these come out and they can actually replicate the existing network. We can put them in place. With FirstNet, it will be primarily a wireless network. So we are building additional what we call cell on light truck. It's a big truck with an antenna that pops up and it connects to a satellite. So in the middle of nowhere, you can drive one of these trucks and you can put a satellite-based wireless network up for first responders. So think of a forest fire in the middle of the mountains where there is no wireless coverage, or a hurricane-decimated area where everything's been destroyed. There's no power. Towers have been knocked down. We'll be able to augment capacity and create a network where there's nothing for first responders. A really exciting opportunity for us and for first responders, I think.
Well, and one of the things that struck my interest, too, is I read somewhere that both of you can address this, and I don't know where the jobs are going to be created, but you are talking about there's probably going to be about 10,000 jobs created with this project. So is that going to be on the side of AT&T? Is that going to be on FirstNet? Is that going to be in the field? Where are they going to be, Chris?
So it has created jobs with FirstNet, you know, TJ's organization. It will be on the AT&T side. A lot of this work will be outsourced within the United States. In most cases, the people who are actually going out and building the wireless towers, there's technology development work, IT work that's going to need to be done. So, yeah, that figure of 10,000 and roughly $6.5 billion will be spent just over the next 5 years, which is going to generate those 10,000 jobs. So, and 10,000 is a conservative figure. It'll probably end up being a lot more than that. But it's for every state in America as well.
And not to mention the lives that we hope that will be saved. Absolutely. Because of the ability of these first responders. What else does AT&T look towards developing? Do you think new technologies are going to be coming forth because of this project?
I do, absolutely. I will tell you, and TJ and I talk about this a lot, that there was a speech given by one of the people over at FirstNet. His name is Chief Jeff Johnson, and he made a comment. He said, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, first responders had the best communication tools available, those walkie-talkies. They could communicate when nobody else could, when they were in their cars on the road. Somewhere along the line, they got passed up by the average teenager who now has a smartphone and does their day-to-day job, their day-to-day personal life with a smartphone, and first responders have been left behind. So the first step is to get them up to where everybody else is. But beyond that, there's a ton of interest out there in developing the applications and the tools to help first responders do their jobs more efficiently. So we're going to see new applications built, new technologies, different ways of covering. Like I talked about the cell on light truck. There'll be other ways, cell on wings, we call it now, which is a mobile cell tower that flies up in the air on a drone. There's going to be a lot of innovation coming out of this project. It's really exciting.
And that will probably carry over to other sectors of our economy as well, not just in the first responders, but that's where it'll be dedicated. Well, okay, so TJ, you've got to be very excited about working in this, especially given your background as a first responder yourself. We only have a couple more minutes. You got any last thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I think it's just so important. You know, both my business experience and my public safety experience has led me to understand that technology really can improve the way that we respond to emergencies. And just like Chris just mentioned, I think the application innovation and the integration with smart cities initiatives and other things that are going on around communities will really, you know, change the way that we conduct our public safety responses for the better. I think that when you look at law enforcement and the fact that, you know, literally, you know, 30% of their time is often spent on reports, if we can improve that with applications and video and being able to do all of that, for instance, with a body-worn camera, and we can put more police officers on the street and have more time for responses rather than reports, and they're actually going to be more accurate because the data will actually literally be on a video recording. Those are great things that I think will make a big difference. I mentioned the difference in the back of an ambulance, but, you know, even in a hospital, you know, for years, hospital emergency rooms had a big whiteboard, and when an ambulance would call in, they literally would have to write down all the symptoms and what was going on with the patient. It was a very manual process. In the future, that information is going to be sent directly by an application to the emergency room, and they'll have more data that will actually be based on an electronic board that will allow for better communication with emergency room physicians, better communication with emergency room nurses, better care that ends up being done by a paramedic that can spend more time with a patient. You know, for firefighters, having the ability to have building drawings of big commercial buildings when there's a structure fire is going to be really critical. Having the ability to, you know, really leverage this technology in ways that will improve responses to critical emergencies in the same way that we've seen technology change much simpler parts of our lives because public
TJ, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to end the program. Thank you so much. That's a very happy note for us to end on. You're listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guests have been Chris Sambar, who is a Senior Vice President of AT&T for FirstNet, and TJ Kennedy, who is the President of FirstNet. We've been discussing their project. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WJLA 7 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.